Figaro, 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 Figaro.
Figaro, 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 Figaro,
Wah, wah.
Figaro,
Wah, wah.
Figaro,
Wah, wah.
Figaro,
Wah, wah. Let it build.
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 Figaro,
Wah, wah. Let it build. Wah, wah. Let it build.
Figaro,
Wah, wah. Let it build. Wah, wah. Let it build. That was fun. I didn't actually know that was a thing, dude.
Yeah.
So this is streaming, right? And I can turn the audio on my stream and start building like a track.
Okay.
So like, get 12 bars playing on a thing in my head and then start making sounds, and I'll keep repeating every like 4 seconds or 5 seconds, and I can slowly build a beat.
Nice.
I want to try and give it a go. I want to try and give it a go. I want to try and give it a go. I want to try and give it a go. I want to try and give it a go. I want to try and give it a go. I want to try and give it a go. I want to try and give it a go. I want to try and give it a go. I want to
Bomb,
try and give it a
bomb,
go. I want to
bomb,
try and give it a
bomb,
go. I want to
bomb,
try and give it a
bomb,
go. I want to
bomb,
try and give it a go. I want to
bomb,
try and give it a
bomb,
go. I want to
bomb,
try and give it a
bomb,
go. I want to
bomb,
try and give it a go. I want to
bomb,
try and give it a
bomb,
go. I want to try and give it a go. I want to try and give it a go.
bomb, 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 bomb.
All we need is a drummer for people who only need a beat. Yeah. Now I'm gonna add a little guitar to make it easy to move your feet. To move your feet. I'll get it worked out. That sounds like a cool, fun thing to do. Hang on, I'll be back.
Okay.
How you doing, brother?
Doing good.
Good to hear. So if you hear me slump and pass out, we're dealing with the mighty Rona at the moment in our house.
Now hear this. Is that heroic music playing?
It is.
That's good. And my voice sounds normal?
It always sounds like this, so deep and masculine.
That's what I was trying to say. Like, that's very masculine. So, once again, we travel to the land of Aros, a land so corrupt, it's most likely run by a, insert political reference here, named, insert dictator name here. The camera slowly pans over the town as the sun rises. And as the sun passes through the window into Iz's lab/shop, we see it fall, shining upon the armor of Valor.
Had to find the off button then. Valor, you awake just as the sun is cresting the horizon. And it peeks straight in the window as if beckoning you. You look around, your comrades asleep on the floor. Even Iza is starting to rise, but hasn't started cooking or anything yet. Just sort of early riser like yourself.
I've beaten the early bird.
You've beaten the early bird. Unfortunately, no worm for you just yet. However,
oh well.
You walk to the bathroom. The bathroom isn't like normal bathrooms with just like a bucket or a cistern or like somewhere to wash your face and that. Running plumbing.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, very like it's all wooden, where you pull valves and stuff like that, but it's very just, what's the word? Like, not interactive. What's the word where it just works? Like, you understand how it works. Like, hey, I need to pull
this lever. Intuitive.
Intuitively designed. And yeah, you freshen up for the morning and you see Izza, when you open the door, sort of looking a bit impatient that somebody was in. But just being it is early and it's a small shack that there's people sleeping, she just kind of nods at you to say, hey, morning.
I, yeah, dip my head in response.
She sort of nods her head again, but this time to the side. And you look to see that you are indeed blocking the doorway completely.
I back out of the way.
Then she sort of backs away awkwardly, like, just you go this way.
We do the sidewalk shuffle.
You do the sidewalk shuffle through. And what are your plans for the day? You've just slaughtered a whole heap of zombies and returned to Izza's place. The person, Teru C, the elf, that had the tattoos and the blessing from what seems to be Elmada, was taken during the conflict with the zombies or on the way there. What do you plan to do?
I would like to just, you know, do some subtle asking around and see if anyone might know anything or have seen anything about what might have happened to Teru.
All right. So I think the way we're going to do this is I'm going to ask you for first a luck check and then I'm going to get you to a persuasion.
All right. So luck.
So just a d20 roll.
I have got a natural 19.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, you basically see, for some reason, it's fairly active this morning. You do see the groups coming back on the train. Apparently, somebody called the emergency last night, and you see train pulling up to the station. You see movement up that way. So you make your way up there. And yep. You see a whole heap of, like, medical staff and medicine people with, like, the plague doctor masks on, just unloading bodies. Seem to be burnt to a crisp. And you go up to the person in charge that seems to be overseeing the unloading of these bodies.
Excuse me, sir. What happened? Where have all these bodies come from?
As the cloaked plague doctor mask turns to you, they are about the same height as you.
Yep.
And they say, and then slowly pulls the mask off, but they've got to pull a fair way forward. And before you, see an Arakokra, which you've run into before.
Yep.
And he says, good evening. I'm Dr. Let me try and get this name right. Keat. Dr. Keat. How can I help you today?
I'm a bit concerned that there's so many dead, burned bodies. What?
Yes. Yes, indeed. It is unfortunate, to say the least. As you see, 30, 40 people were incinerated up at the mining station.
Sort of the light, light bulb flashing in the back of Vala's head. It's like, ah, yes.
Yes.
That is unfortunate.
Unfortunately, no information has been recovered yet, but... and you see the Arakoko sort of look down at the mask, and I'll get you to roll an inside check.
Yep. that'll be 5.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you think, like, maybe these doctors, like, maybe I should put the mask on, you know, because of germs and stuff. I probably should be wearing it. I don't know. But, yeah, you it's something. Probably wants to put the mask on or, like, enjoys wearing the mask. Not really sure. You see another person approach with the mask on that says... Dr. Key, we got the bodies off the thing. Do you want us just to dig a hole here, or do you want us to... just respectfully place them in wheelbarrows and take them to the cemetery. Respectfully. Yeah, all right. He said take them to the tip. and I'll give you... one more chance at an insight roll. This time with disadvantage.
Okay. With disadvantage is a 7.
Yeah, no, all you sort of picked up on was that the... for some reason, the Dr. Keat needed to remove his mask, but that guy seems to be able to talk quite clearly with that mask on. But, yeah, it didn't really mean much to you. But, yeah, they start moving off. Well, as you can see, I'm extremely busy. Was there anything you had to ask me?
I don't suppose you've noticed if any of the bodies coming back were of the elvish persuasion?
Well, actually, that is... I'll get you to roll a persuasion.
Persuasion. Please, 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 please. where is persuasion? There it is. Oh, yeah, I am good with that one. Yeah, 26.
You see a bit of hesitation, and Dr. Keat sort of looks over your shoulder back towards the train as you see a... covered, like all the other ones were sort of stuck together as you flash back to the fight where all the body parts were pulled together to create a giant zombie centipede. Yep. And then incinerated. Whereas this looks like just one body being moved off. And it does have a cover over it. There was, and with the 26th, the doctor, although extremely well off, reaches out a few feathers and starts making a beckoning motion at you.
Yep. I follow.
No, not to follow.
Oh.
Just a beckoning, sort of. Very slyly. A down low couple feathers.
Yep. I nod my head.
And then... Dr. Keat, like, nods at the feathers in the hand, like...
I grab his hand and shake it.
Oh, God.
And then a light bulb
yes, hits. Yes. Have you met my friend my Dr. Hand. Bribe yet? I'm Dr. Keat. Dr. Bribe might be...
Yes.
Dr. Bribe.
When he says that, Vala has a vivid flashback of not paying a bribe in a bar a couple of days ago.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, I know this. I know this. And I fumble around in my pouch. not inconspicuous at all.
Not inconspicuous, no.
I hand over one gold piece.
Right this way, sir. And starts walking off, oddly still holding your hand, and then he's like, you need, sir, I'm sorry, you need, You need to let go of my hand. It's getting weird now. People are used to bribes, but PDAs aren't, although it's much appreciated. Yes, come this way, sir. And
okay, Vala drops her hand, his hand, and luckily she's got her helmet on because she's like brushing, blushing so brightly at the moment.
come this way, and you there, stop. All right, Dr. Keats says stop. No, just us two. You guys keep going. And Dr. Keats walks over and just slowly pulls back the cover. And before you, you see Stuna. Stuna was the stoner elf that stole spices from Ted's room. And she seems to have a peculiar blackening of their lips and tongue. But yeah, completely dead. Yes, this one was found on our approach back to town.
Can I do a, I don't know, like a medicine or religion check, or like, do I recognize the blackness?
I'll let you do. I'll let you do a religion check. Actually, make it a medicine. Make it a medicine.
Bugger. Okay.
Well, if you did roll already, you can tell me what that was.
It was 14 total.
14 total. This, from your knowledge, this looks like a poisoning.
Okay.
Which would be very strange considering the amount of deaths and the method of deaths in this region. Poisoning is a new one. And you can tell that the Dr. Keat is a little bit boggled by this. So, yes, it's a strange one. A very strange one.
I know this person, this elf.
Oh, I'm very sorry for your loss.
Thank you. Do you mind if I take care of the last rites? I can take this one back to my church. Obviously, you know, protruding the amulet that I'm wearing. And
I'm going to... you look at the blue feathered face of Dr. Keat, who seems to be taking you in, and I'll get you to roll a persuasion check. And you've conducted yourself well, so I will give you advantage. The DC is pretty high, though.
Is 24 going to be good enough?
Yeah, 24 is going to blow. I don't suppose that would be like we have enough bodies to deal with here. I'm not really interested. I'll tell you what. You can take that body, but I need to know who I'm dealing with.
Okay.
I'll need you to remove that mask.
I am reluctant to remove my mask. I am Vala Ashbourne. I am a paladin of the Church of Ilmata, just outside of town.
I understand. I understand completely. As you can see, and points to the blue feathers around his orange beak, I don't know what you're hiding. But, sir, surely we can look face to face and agree like men.
Um, Vala's now doing that whole, you know, hands held together, foot up on the, up on her toes, sort of, squirming it into the ground, like bashful type. stance. I need your word before I remove my helmet that what transpires here goes no further.
I have no idea what that means, but I agree to not go further.
Okay.
I understand. I don't want to put you in an uncomfortable position, but the name Vala Ashbourne means very little to me. So it was Vala, correct?
Yes, it was.
It's a very strange name, but understood. I will not, whatever affliction I may be able to help with at some stage, like we have treatments, if it's boils or whatever affliction you have, I'm sure with proper donations we may be able to help you.
All right, Vala has a quick look around to see if there's many people nearby.
Yeah, give me a perception check.
It's thinking. Perception. 12.
All right. You feel very, you're fairly certain that no one's around. The people that are around are very distracted, picking up chalky thigh bones covered in charred meat and shoveling them as respectfully as possible into the wheelbarrows.
Yep.
And then wheeling them down the street towards the cemetery.
Okay.
Respectfully. Very respectful.
Noting that they seem to be, they have some sort of privacy. Yep. Vala very carefully starts wiggling the helmet. A slight scraping noise as the horns come back through the holes in the helmet. And a bundle of long black hair falls down out of the helmet first. And then he slowly sees grey skin with a slight reddish hue before she straightens up, revealing her tiefling appearance with her stunning red eyes. And a rather abashed, obviously female look on her face.
Oh, God! I've embarrassed myself again. It appears that you are not a sir, but a madam.
With my helmet on, I don't mind being called sir. It helps me not be noticed.
Fair enough, but once again, we do have medication for that if you ever had issue with that part of it. But, Vala, it is a pleasure to meet you. I am actually a little bit taken aback. Your eyes, I thought I was here, and you look up to see he has red eyes above his orange beak and his blue feathers. I thought I was the only one with those kind of eyes. Can you see colors?
I'd never really thought of that. I assume Vala can see all normal colors.
Oh, yeah, Vala can. Tieflings have the ability to see color.
Cool. I just wanted to make sure of that because it's not something that sort of comes up in character development.
No, I understand that. I've never been able to see color, but I do, I could tell tinges, so I've never hooked up the wrong artery to a vein or anything. But, yes. You might ask how I knew your eyes were red. And, unfortunately, shades kind of look like, the way I see colors in shades, it looks like a reddish shade.
Well, they are indeed red, so well picked up.
Thank God he bought that oversight in the plot hole.
And thank you for not screaming. It does my heart wonders.
Well, as you can imagine, people seeing a doctor that doesn't have the hands of a surgeon sometimes causes a bit of a stir. But luckily, those people are, how we say, friggin' idiots.
Vala, yeah, has a blushed chuckle with that as well.
All right, well, I don't mean to expose your maiden shame for too much longer, but I could tell you being a female is nothing to be ashamed of, madam.
Vala's eyes just go wide. It's like...
It is a proud sex agenda. You should never be ashamed of who you are, especially the ability to bear children obviously creates the ongoing of one's race. So never hide that fact from people.
She's very taken aback.
Also, just on a medical side of things, I would recommend taking your helmet off and washing it out every once in a while. I didn't say anything because it would be inappropriate, but from a health perspective, you probably want to do that at least once a week.
I will. Thank you.
Did
the horns not mean anything to you?
If I was more childish than I am, a joke could come out about a horny female, but I am a professional, and, okay, I guess I'll ask the question. Is it hard to get the horns back into the helmet with the hair in the way? Like, I was wondering about that, but since you pushed me, I will ask the question. It seems almost physically impossible. The angle that they're on, is there some sort of clip that allows the helmet to reopen and close around the helmet horns? Have you ever considered maybe cutting a hole in the helm to allow the horns to protrude through, and maybe people might think it's part of the horns and they wouldn't realize you're a female?
Just for note, there are holes that my horns protrude through. So that my horns actually look like the horns of the helmet when I'm wearing it.
Okay, but, put it on again.
But thank you, there is a knack to it. But she's had a lot of practice over the years and slides the helmet. There is a scraping noise as the metal sort of chatters against the horn. But it slides back on and she tucks her hair back up under it. Now completely not female looking at all.
All right. Well, yes, I will allow you to take this body away of the elf for study. Please, if you find anything, please report back to the medical tent down near the docks. And then let me just get you some assistance, but first I need to place back on my personal protective equipment. Otherwise, people will judge me. And he slowly raises his Plague Master doc mask on and puts it on. And then turns and goes... and pulls it off and... God damn these things. You there! Come... help carry this one wherever Vala requires. And two guys run. Yeah, sure thing, boss. And they pick her up and just stare at you. Plague Doc Damasco's on. And you slowly piece together that no, his beak cannot open when it's inside the plague doctor mask.
Cool. I graciously bow and thank Dr. Keat for all of his assistance and his discretion. And yeah.
Yeah, so the two guys carrying are going to escort you.
Cool. I'm going to take it back to the church as opposed to Iz's place.
Yeah, that's fine.
Just because we've got, you know, priests and whatnot there, might be able to get a bit more information if they, I can get them working on it as well.
Oh, yeah, and I'd also appreciate it from a DM point of view. Because if you go back there, they're sort of waking up now and it kind of...
Yep.
Sorry, just sending off information. Alrighty. So, you get back to the Church of Ilmara. Where are you heading?
What was the...
Brother Edwin. Brother Superior.
Yeah, I want to have a word with Brother Edwin. I'll get them to drop the, not drop, but place Stuna's body in a spare room, infirmary if we've got one. I'm not sure. I imagine we'd have one in the church.
There is like a cellar / dungeon down the bottom that they do some rituals in.
Yep. Cool. I'll get Stuna's body taken down there onto one of the altars.
Excellent. Alrighty. So you head down, you go with the body and you send the two to ask for Brother Edwin to come meet you.
Yep.
You have the body there, the two people leave. And you are currently in a ritual dark cobblestone dungeon underneath the church.
Cool. I've got dark vision, so I don't really notice it.
There is basically with dark vision, when you're in a place like that, you start to lose your colors and stuff.
Yep.
But as you light the torches around the room to get, because you're going to do some sort of inspection or ritual, you probably want to be able to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, you...
So while I'm waiting for Brother Edwin, I'm just going to give Stuna a once-over, see if there's anything on him, any distinguishing injuries other than the blackening.
Yeah, okay, so you start removing clothing and looking for things?
Yep.
All right, roll me a medicine check with advantage.
Medicine... Okay, first one's an 18 and a 3, so we'll go with the 18.
Okay, so with the 18, you saw Stuna, like, yesterday, and Stuna was a young, vibrant, young sea elf, but now, you recognize her, but she looks significantly older. You look at her nails. And all her nails are just, it looks like they've just rotted away and they've started to turn black. Her skin has, like, the life has been sucked out of it. There is several, obviously from whatever time has passed, fluid sort of coming out ears and mouth, but you see that it's just kind of like, death with that check, you're like, oh, I think that's mainly just death. But the thing that sort of gets you is like the mouth is black, the tongue is black, the lips are black, and the eyes are closed. And as you sort of pull them open, they look solid, like husks.
Okay.
As Brother Edwin walks in. Good morning, my child.
Brother Edwin, I'm sorry to disturb you this morning, but I wanted you to come have a look at one of my associates.
Well, I don't mind having a look. It's just after this, I need to duck off to breakfast. And looks down and goes, well, I guess I can cancel those plans. And you explain, you sort of hold the hands up, you point to the lips, the mouth, the tongue, and the eyes. And as you open the eyes and hold them open, you see Brother Edwin sort of pull back and go, oh, they say the eyes are the windows to the soul. This, I agree with you, it's poisoning, but I don't think it was poisoning of the body.
How do you mean, brother?
Well, once again, I can't be positive, as, and lifts the cane and just sort of pokes her. I remember her being younger, and it looks as if the life may have been sapped out of her, or spent. Do you know if she was a spellcaster?
I know she experimented with substances. I don't know if she was a magic user.
Substances, yes. Well, you can't really blame her, like young people these days. And this is a rough, tough town. Sometimes you just got to take the edge off. And he slowly feels around the pockets until he finds a little box, and he opens it up and you see some rolled bits of paper, and he just closes that and puts it in his pocket and like, I will look at this at a later time to work out if this was responsible.
Vala thanks him, not realizing what it was that he's actually collected.
Yeah, fair enough. I love it. I love that so much more than a check. It pockets that. Well, I'm not exactly sure what you want from me. Do you know anything about how she passed? Was there anyone involved?
I don't know. Group of other companions went up to the mining town last night. And yes. We came across...
Oh, God. The undead. The mining camp.
Yes. We were attacked by the undead.
Oh.
We managed to defeat them.
That's good. Defeating undead is good.
Yes, yes. There was someone controlling them, and when we thought we had gotten through them all, he joined them all together to make a large undead creature, which we had to then defeat as well. These bodies were being recovered this morning, and I just happened to be walking through trying to find someone else when I noticed them coming, all these bodies being delivered from the train. And after speaking with Dr. Keat, was able to discern that this body of Stuna was different, brought in with the rest of them, but differently afflicted. So I can only guess that she was up there as well.
Roll a history check just on what Dr. Keat said.
Okay. Natural 21.
Oh, yeah. This body was actually found on their way back to town.
Okay.
Almost discarded, like outside the city gate sort of thing.
Write that down.
And so it wasn't killed with the others. And I'm actually struggling to remember if you guys talked about Bruce and that and what happened with... I don't know if Ted passed it on to you guys.
No.
Struggling to remember. Let's just assume that you can't remember that. But with a nat 20, you do remember that someone mentioned that Stuna's eyes were yellow, a strange yellow, on the way out there.
Okay. I pass that on to Brother Edwin.
Yellow, you say? All right, well, I guess there's nothing to it now. And walks over and takes out some incense out of the, well, what he says is incense, but it's one of the paper things that was rolled up. And just sort of crumples it up and lights it. And a strange smoke fills the air, and he puts their burning charcoals as they're dropping down the spring smoke all over Stuna's body. And then walks to the head of Stuna and just slowly and majestically raises his cane over her body and slowly does a circle a few times, muttering to himself, and then stops over her head and thunk. All right, wake up. We need to talk to you. And you hear a All right, well, we have 5 questions. First of all, how is it in the afterlife? It's not that bad. I thought it'd be much worse. Like, we're just like chilling at the moment, waiting for judgment. Some pretty cool people.
Vala catches on to the spell that Brother Edwin has cast.
Are these things safe to smoke?
cuts him off before he can finish asking that question.
No, please don't cut me off. I need to know. This is imperative to the continuation of our order. I wouldn't be frivolous with these questions. Do you doubt me, Vala?
Of course not. I just want to make sure we find out how she died, why she died, not...
Yes, yes.
...substances she might have been consuming.
All right, well, I'll just keep that one in my back pocket in case you fall short. All right.
Thank you. Stuna, what happened to you?
My body was stolen. Full 24 hours. And I could feel it burning on the inside. The last memory I have is as the force left my body through my mouth.
Okay.
3 questions left.
Yep. Where were you when your body was stolen?
Do you know the group? No More Rail.
Yes.
I was at their headquarters getting delicious sugar cakes. Not the cheap non-sugar ones from the No More Rail across the road that we were attending when we met you.
Okay, I'm glad you clarified that, because that was going to be my next question.
I know, it's so annoying. Like, why would you call, like, four organizations in town the same goddamn name? Homonyms are just the worst.
That they are, that they are. Okay. Do you know what it was that stole your body?
Demon, a devil, something evil.
Okay, Vala is taking that very much to heart. Not like she's offended, but the fact that it could be something from her home.
Yeah, like you have a flashback of Bazul, who was the... Just a flashback. You know what he looks like.
Yeah. Okay.
How many questions you got left?
That's three questions I've asked plus Edwin's one, so I've got one question left.
Which we shouldn't waste. Listen. Are these things here?
No.
You know. I am Brother Superior, goddammit. And, like, I need...
Can I roll...
I will give you a freebie. Like, those are safe to... Like, they had nothing to do with my death. They're good shit. Please enjoy them.
I was about to say, can we do like a contested will roll or something?
No. I already stole one from you, but yeah, I do want to do a contested roll. Should we?
I just think that'd be funny.
Let's do a contested roll. I love your spirit.
I'm trying to cover his mouth, and he's trying to bat my hands away.
I think this is going to be athletic, so you've got at least an advantage on it, because old mate ain't got much on him. I'm going to do this with a real die. Because I took these away with me, and I was planning on using them, and I never got to. So I'm bringing out the cursed die. The cursed die. Ready?
Yep.
Okay, athletics roll. Rolling. Go. Hey, not bad. Not bad.
I got a 17, 12 plus 5.
Yeah, I got a 10 minus 2, so. I
want to ask, are these ones safe?
And then.
Cool. And then, Stuna gives him the freebie.
I'll give you the freebie.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so I've got one more question. Thinking on the spot.
I don't want to miss my spot in line for the great judgment.
I understand that. We will have you passing to the other side very soon. Why were you in the gnome or ale headquarters to be in a position to have your body stolen.
Have you ever had those sugar-free sugar cakes? God damn. Like, yeah. They suck the fun out of everything. But one thing I did notice was the creature that approached me originally looked like it was following your group, but doubled back.
Okay.
You look over and you see Brother Edwin sparking one of the things up.
Oh, quick. Can I just have a quick hit? just blow it my direction.
Brother Edwin's like,
well, I had to start working up appetite after this. Look at those goddamn nails.
Yeah, it's not a pretty sight from what she once looked like.
So, this devil demon.
That's very concerning.
She seemed to think it was following you or someone in your group. Any ideas?
Well, I... Can you not blow that this way?
Have I ever shown you? Like, hang on, check out this shit, ready?
And he tries to blow a form in this smoke. Let me just roll this and see performance check.
I'm a little bit old, so I roll with disadvantage. 18's the first one, so it starts looking pretty good. And then a 4.
It looks like a tree.
It's meant to be a ship. A great ship. You see the sails with the...
It's a cloud.
God damn it, you got no imagination. Anyways, I suggest...
Well, as you know, brother, there have been... demons... others from my home searching potentially for me. I don't want to, you know, lay claim to this current one, but the fact that I'm here and there is a demon potentially following us, it does not bode well with me. I don't know the rest of my companions well enough to know if it could be one of them. But it's too much of a coincidence, I think.
It reminds me, one of your brothers banished someone who claimed to be a bounty hunter recently. Not much was said, though. It was like, I'm here to collect, and then, like, banish that mofo.
Right.
He was clearly a demon, like some kind of tiefling, and we're just like, not in here, sonny. Bam!
I wasn't aware of that. That is quite concerning. So he was banished to the material plane?
From we're in the material plane now. Yes,
okay, so one of my brothers, not one of my someone I might have left behind. in Avernus, but actually someone from my church.
Yes, yes, sorry. That would have been interesting. No.
I didn't think I had any family left, so I...
Oh, yeah, if there was someone being nice and they got banished, that would be a bad thing. But this person was torturing for information, and one of our brothers stepped forward and was like, yo, not in my house. Pachui.
Well, that's a good thing.
Well, yes, I do wish they actually interrogated them or asked questions before banishing, but I guess...
That would also be helpful.
Yes, yes, but also, I'm like, oh, well, what if they got killed trying to do that? Like, sometimes you shouldn't mess around with these things. I'd... massive pussy, if you ask me, but... like, in my day... Ooh. In my day... Wait, what was I saying again?
The fact that a tiefling bounty hunter was banished.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember now. All right. Well, I'm hungry as balls.
So, I was expecting that as well.
Yes. Listen, when people come back from the dead... they don't have to tell the truth, but we know one thing. She was definitely telling the truth about these herbs. This is just amazing. I'm going to head to breakfast now.
Just quickly before you go, brother, is there anything we can do to, you know, for her body to stop her becoming undead again? Or potentially...
No problem. Hang on a sec. Pachowie! And... smacks her in the head and does what is that spell? It's
yeah, I know the one you mean.
The cantrip.
Yeah,
I'm gonna look this up because I should know this. I like in my head I was saying it and then I went to do it. God damn it!
Something respite.
Yeah, gentle repose.
Gentle repose. That's it.
Yes. So gentle repose, and you see her body just sort of get glazed over with holy light. The fingernails look a little bit better. It's almost as if some of the contagion or possession or whatever doomed her was some of the damage was undone, but she's definitely passed.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, I'm off to breakfast and I feel like I can fly there. And he puts his hands up in front of him like he's going to fly and then just like runs out of the room. Whoosh.
Vala is shaking her head in disbelief, just like, okay, that's strange.
You've got to enjoy life! And yeah, off he goes.
Cool. I will go and speak with some of the other... priests about organizing a proper burial for her.
Yeah, no problem. But
I will hold off because I want to check with the others if they want to investigate. So I'm going to take as many notes as I can of like, everything that I can see that's happened to her.
Yep.
In my diary.
Excellent.
For future reference. And then, yeah, but before she gets her burial, I want the opportunity for the others to at least see what has happened to her, if they want to.
Yeah, so just before you leave the room, you reach over and you say a little prayer for Stuna and you place your hand on her. And as you do, I'll get you to roll a will save.
Will save. So that's constitution, yeah?
It's will save. So wisdom save.
Wisdom save, sorry.
Sorry, that was in 3E speak. I thought you were joking me then.
21 for wisdom save.
So as you place your hand down, you feel like an evil energy, and suddenly your eyes go black.
and you see the last thing Stuna saw. Okay. And this last thing you heard, and you see her walking into the group. As she's walking the door, she turns to her left and sees your group walking away, and there was something coming out of the alley. And then that thing looks like it's about to start following you and the others. And then it stops and looks at Stuna, and Stuna just like, what a weirdo, shrugs it off and walks inside. Is it all right if I grab one of these? And you hear the host of No More Argo. Yeah, man, help yourself. Like, whatever's good for you, man. And then footsteps gone away. And then you feel the sugar cakes get picked up and you hear some footsteps behind. And as she turns, the face behind her is still halfway through a morph. You see the skin rolling on top of skin and all you see is a persistent yellow eyes staring into her soul. And she starts to scream, and then it goes black. Those were the last moments of Stuna.
Wow. Okay. Do I recognize the eyes? I know that's probably a long shot, but... is there a shape to them, or
I'll get you to roll me a history check.
History?
Yeah, this has got to be a history check. And I'm going to say disadvantage because it's through a...
Well, the first one was a 7 and I thought that couldn't get any worse, but then it's a 5, so... Yeah, no.
It could be. Like, you know, like... Oof.
Like do I know of a type of demon that has distinctly yellow eyes?
No. Like, you're thinking it, you're racking your brain... And it's just not coming to you. But, like, yeah, it definitely wasn't, like, it's definitely, like, bright yellow eyes. It's just really off-putting. You can't place it if you did remember anything, but nah. Okay. No dice. So you, unfortunately, with that memory, head off, talk to the priest, schedule a burial, and... You've taken your notes and you're heading off.
Yep.
As you're heading through, it's been a couple of hours now.
Yep.
You're heading through the streets. And you see, as you're coming down from the temple, you see Izzah walking up, go past you. And she seems to be in a bit of a hurry.
I call out to Izzah.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, sorry, I'm just... Just in a bit of a hurry, I got some, I'm feeling lucky. I got a lucky streak coming, and she, like, shakes a yellow bottle at you, yellow potion. I'm just heading up the guardhouse to play a little bit of craps with the boys.
Do you think that's wise, Izzah?
Yeah.
You know, this has happened before.
What could go wrong? Luck's on my side, if you know what I mean. Right, you have yourself a lovely day, okay?
Yeah, it's like Vala's sort of stunned for words. It's like
the other ones were heading something to do with the Bond House. They were heading there. Apparently, Bruce was collecting the money, and they were planning to stop him for the bounty Bruce collected on necromancers that they gave him. But now they want to go talk. I don't know, but I gotta go. But good luck, and you know, keep up all the. Things you do with the, you know, killing and saving and yeah.
See ya. Vala's sort of like,
all good. I'll see you. They've already paid for your room and board. There's some breakfast left over at the room if you wanted it, but they're heading down the docks.
Righto. Thanks. As is running away.
Yeah. Oh, she's legging it. She's very keen to win some money. Which, I'll let you do an insight roll.
Dirty 20.
Yeah. You're
99% sure that she doesn't need the money. Like, she owns a house with a lab with all sorts of inventions and magic items and stuff. You think she's got an addiction to the gambling, you know, worshipping the almighty gambler, or yep. she's experimenting with said yellow potion, testing its limits and whatnot. Could be either, but she's there for an addictive reason, but what that is, not quite sure with the 20.
Right, cool. Potential addiction problem.
Yeah. So I'm going to say that with that, you're going to run or walk or whatever towards the docks.
Yep.
As you're going, just give me a perception check. I'll get a couple more rolls out of you on your way.
Yep. First perception, we've got a 17.
Excellent. All right. So with a 17, you notice you see like a crow flying in the air, and then like a large eagle comes down behind it and like, raven, sorry. A large eagle comes down, like grabs it, and he's just flying through the city with the eagle, and that thing lands pretty much on top of one of the buildings in the distance that you're moving through the town towards. As you see that, you sort of duck behind one of the buildings as you're coming out towards it, and that's when you see on the rooftop where there was just a little raven and an eagle, you all of a sudden see Nora sliding down a drain pipe down to the ground. Just in the distance, about 100 feet away. You see her talking to Ted, and you see a large crowd like cheering and stuff happening. As you walk, you've still got like a fair bit to walk. Sorry, I said 100 feet. I meant like 200 feet. I forget how small feet are these days. Not my feet. My feet are large, not compensating for nothing. but yeah, you see a large group cheers in the crowd. You hear something along the lines of, with that perception, you hear something along the lines of, "I'm buying another round. Yay!" And you see Iodana and Bruce walk out the front onto the street, and they start talking, and you can see them sort of talking together, and you stop, and you're just taking the whole scene in. There's Ted and Nora, and you see Iodana and Adan, and you're sort of looking around. Bruce is there chatting to him, and all of a sudden Bruce is like, "Listen, I'm going to live forever," and puts his hands in the air. He's happy as Larry, and that's when you see three arrows just... And Bruce falls lifeless to the ground. I'll get you to roll initiative.
Ooh.
And that's okay. Where we'll end the session.
Do you want my initiative now or for when we...
You can tell it to me now. We'll write it down.
All right. I'll write it down as well. And it sort of makes sense because I'm still further away because it's only an 8.
Nice. So, little Easter egg, just something I don't want to forget. Yep. Do you want to hazard a guess at Dr. Keats' names?
I was going to ask if he was a paramedic.
His full name, which you'll find out later, but I want to tell you now so I don't forget, is Dr. Hugh Laurie Keats.
Nice.
Some people call him Dr. House just for fun, but he's a house doctor. Alrighty. But yeah, so this will be actually the last time we do a level every single time, as discussed.
Yeah.
So you get a level.
So we're all starting next round at level 9?
I think so. Hang on a sec. So this is level 7.5. This was episode 7.5. So it was 1, 2... You start at level 1 with session 1, so that means you start at level 2 at session 2. This is 7. So should you not be starting at 8, maybe?
Well,
I could be wrong.
My last note from our last level game was that we got a level, and then when we were chatting the other night, you said that they were all level 8, and I was like, hang on, I'm level 7 still, so...
Yeah, that's because you hadn't had this session. So this is your level 7. going to level 8.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's not good. So, sorry.
I'd already done my level and feat, so I'll leave that as is.
All good.
So, yeah. So, for your record, if you wanted to know, I grabbed the Shieldmaster feat.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
So let me just have a look at this feat for you, because there is a funny thing about it. Let me just go feats, shield. I'm just going to type Shieldmaster in, because I'm going to do a re-ruling on this right now, okay? So one of the things for this thing is that if you take the attack action, you can use a bonus action to try and shove the creature within 5 feet of you with the shield. I.e., you can knock them to the ground or knock them 5 feet back with the shove action as a bonus action. Now, rules as written end with the sage advice. Because you have to take the attack action first, you cannot use that to run forward to knock someone over to the ground to get advantage on them for attacks.
Yeah, makes sense.
I say that's BS and bullshit, because I think that makes perfect sense in battle. So I'm going to say as long as you take your attack action on your turn, you can use the bonus action to try and shove. Because in medieval combat, that happened all the time, where you'd run in, you'd try and butt them over with the shield and then stab them while they're on the ground or whatnot.
Right. Cool.
So I will allow it as a bonus action as long as you are taking the attack action with your weapon and not using a spell or something.
Yep. No, that's cool. I accept that.
All good. And the rest of it is just pretty easy. Oh, good, man. Well, I hope you enjoyed that. That was lots of fun for me. I think it's a lot more fun when we get to bounce off each other like that.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm glad that, Vala's got to, interact a bit more with her church and, try and figure out what's going on, because she's still a bit in awe of the world and everything that's happened. She's starting to take a bit of control of herself now.
Yeah, and honestly, Vala's finest moment was when you were with the crew going to those meetings and you were doing the whole bribe thing and not understanding, and other people were there to back you up.
I loved playing that.
That was really fun. And it was even fun this session. It was one of those ones where it was brilliantly played. And so thanks very much for that, man. And I do appreciate that. And
anytime, man.
All good. So we're good to go for Monday, except that Sky said he might not be available, so we'll have to work it out. But hey, man, thanks once again for playing. You've already done your level on your feet, so that's all good. And, man, have a great trip, and I will catch up with you soon. And I'm just going to cut the stream there, because, once again, the best player to play D&D is?
Long distance online.
And with a mate. Not among mates, just sort of next to one or directly beside one.
Yeah.
But So I'll catch you next time, man, and I'll stay and chat afterwards for a bit of a catch up, just quickly. All right. Peace. Cool.